Thank you. Good morning. I am so glad you're here. And wow, what a passage we are going to study together today. What do you think for a minute about some advice that you have received over the years? Were you young? Old, well, not old, medium-aged, or maybe it was just last week. Who gave you that advice, and how did you know to trust it? I have a friend who is a nurse, and she likes to look things up in books and on the computer, and she checks with colleagues on Skype. So if I want some advice about medical things, or I want some advice about getting more medical advice, I can ask Karen. When I was shopping for a car a few years back, I asked my dad, because he liked to keep up with the trends, for some advice, and I asked my friend Barb, who had just purchased one. Maybe you've recently requested advice about health or priorities or how to handle a difficult work situation. When I was learning to drive, I received plenty of advice. What's one piece of advice you might give someone who's learning to drive? Even if you aren't a driver, I'm sure you have advice for people who are. So I'll give you a few seconds to advise someone sitting near you. What do they need to know to be a good driver? Go ahead. Advise each other. I clearly remember some of the advice I was given when I was learning, and I remember the accompanying tones of voice. Ease up on the clutch. Maybe from a father rubbing his neck. Don't turn the wheel when you turn your head. That one was from my driver's ed teacher. Go with the flow of traffic. That's a good one. Or from my mother, understandably frustrated by my devotion to the speed limit despite a broken speedometer that made our car very slow. Move with the speed of traffic. Can you relate to any of that advice? Sounds like it. Well, in the main passage we're going to look at today, a king gets some important advice from a reliable source. And we will too. You see, following God's advice for navigating life's road helps us shine light into others' lives. We learn God's ways through the Bible. Words from the King of the universe, our Savior, our guide. He teaches us through this book. It's so incredible. Will you pray with me before we open the pages? Dear Lord, you say in this book, in your word, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we want to be wise, and we are here. We've already shown you our reverence as we've sung, as we've offered gifts to you, as we've prayed for others. Lord, thank you so much for being our guide. And I pray that as we study this passage, that you'll help us keep learning, keep listening, keep moving forward. Your Holy Spirit, work in us. Make us ready to hear and give us courage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you find Proverbs 31 in a Bible, please? I'll be reading from the translation that's in the Bibles under the chairs, but you could use the Bible on your phone or another one that you brought. We're going to look at Proverbs 31, which is about halfway through the Bible, right after Psalms, right before Ecclesiastes, which is a smaller one, but it's the last chapter we're going to look at, so that means it's right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 31. Over the last few weeks here at Hidden Creek, we've been learning to pray as Jesus advised. The passage we're reading today from Proverbs is part of our learning to follow Jesus, too. When we ask God for wisdom and follow the advice he gives, we begin to do things his way and make a difference for his kingdom. When we ask God for wisdom and follow the advice he gives, we begin to do things his way and make a difference for his kingdom. The king in this passage needed advice. And now those God-inspired words are in the Bible for us. As we study together today, we will learn more about who we are as believers, hear some actions to take, and consider who might encourage us along the way. We'll start out by reading the first 9 verses. There's an important point for us in the end of the chapter, and we'll look at a few verses from that last section eventually, but most of today's study comes from this first part. So we're going to read the first 9, and if you'll connect more with the text by whisper reading or reading aloud, no matter what translation you have, feel free. So Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9, let's read it. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their... I mean, sometimes we say things like, I hear that it's good to drink 8 glasses of water a day. And that's different from the intense memory-making advice we can get. Like my mother's follow the speed of traffic accompanied by her foot on top of mine on the accelerator. Or the memory-making situation when a close friend asks you out to coffee, takes a deep breath, and says something like, I kind of cringe when I think about some of the stuff that's part of my screen time. But I'm not sure what to do about it. You have any tips for me? So in these first few verses of Proverbs 31, we have a king whose mother and God love him and want him to get some things straight. And then the passage goes on to talk about upholding decrees and laws and such. And we might think, what does that have to do with me? I'm not a person of influence. I don't really affect my society. I'm no head of state. I'm not royalty. Oh, whenever we are in doubt of our significance, Scripture has some important news for us. Psalm 139 tells us that each person is created by God and known by him. Genesis 1 says that we are made in the image of God. Human beings are valuable, even the human beings who aren't our favorites, and even the ones we don't know personally. And those of us who have confessed our need for forgiveness, the kind that God offers through Jesus, and have become Christians, we have yet another level of connection with God. It's not that we're better than others, but receiving God's forgiveness leads to a closeness, a real relationship with him, and real responsibility. Listen to these statements from Scripture about that. In Mark 14, when Jesus was praying before he went to the cross, he prayed for God's will to be done, and he addressed God as Abba, Father. And later, Paul says this to the Christians in Rome and us. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In Galatians 4, we read, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and that we forgiven Christ followers are children of God and his heirs. 1 Peter 2 tells us that we as a group of believers are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim his excellence. 2 Corinthians 5 calls us ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. In Ephesians 1, we hear again that we are adopted by God through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So yes, through Jesus' mercy and grace, we are children of the King of Kings. We are children of the King of Kings. Can you imagine how much love that is? Perfect, incredible, overwhelming love from the King of the universe for each one of us. And belonging to Christ as a child of the King places each of us in a position of powerful influence. Belonging to Christ places each of us in a position of powerful influence. He chose us and wants us to represent him in the world, even though we're not perfect. As we examine the intense parts of the rest of this passage, let's not forget that. Look at verses 3 and 4 and 5 again. The wise advice to the human and therefore imperfect King Lemuel is this. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Since belonging to Christ makes us people of influence, like King Lemuel, we need to prayerfully examine our companions and pursuits. We need to prayerfully examine our companions and pursuits. Perhaps Lemuel's mother saw her son making some poor choices in his activities and in the company he kept. Perhaps the women he was spending time with were interested in him for selfish reasons, or maybe they were tearing down his faith. Perhaps he was treating them selfishly, using them for what he wanted, whether sex or just companionship without real relationship. It certainly seems from these verses that Lemuel's pursuit of wine, women, and song was taking the time or energy he could otherwise use to make a positive difference in the world. We want to walk in God's ways. We want his advice. So we want to study what God has to say throughout Scripture about relationships between men and women. And we can also look to both the Old and the New Testaments for guidance about alcohol. We can find a range of statements about it, but a number of passages are quite clear about problems with the misuse of it, like this one. The physical ramifications of drunkenness are addressed elsewhere in Proverbs, for instance, and we see some unfortunate consequences of it in the lives of Abraham and Noah. And in the verse we just read, we're reminded about alcohol's effects on decision-making. Maybe frequent use of alcohol or a selfish pursuit of sexual or romantic connections are problems for you, as they seem to have been for King Lemuel. If so, there's good news. First, Jesus Christ died for all sin, and he offers both forgiveness and help for living a life that reflects his standards. He can provide encouragement and intervention along a long road of choosing his way. Oh, it can be a battle, but God wants his kids, remember we're children of the King of Kings, to live life to the fullest. Addictions inhibit the fullness of life and our ability to serve him. Of course, the two particular areas mentioned by King Lemuel's mother may not be where you get hung up. You may be plenty aware of another activity that causes problems for you. Once more, look at verses 4 and 5 in your Bible or on the screen. Look at verses 4 and 5. As imperfect people, we all have bad habits and distractions, even if we can't name any addictions. Now, God gives us many things to enjoy. Time in nature, a good meal, a show that makes you want to sing and dance, even if you can't. However, verse 4's spending our strength or money or excessive time on things that may tear us down eventually can affect our ability to help others as our Heavenly Father's ambassadors. Are we forgetting, as it's phrased in verse 5, our calling and status as one adopted by the King of Kings? There's nothing necessarily sinful about looking forward to the next vacation or catching up on Facebook, working hard for a promotion or watching basketball. But constantly thinking about those things might keep us from looking at and caring for the people in our lives. The Lord and I have been doing some serious talking about a couple of my habits. Some of the changes of heart and practice are hard, really hard. But so was his sacrifice on the cross that created the path to becoming his child. Is there something that the Holy Spirit would like you to put away or put on the back burner so that you can better serve the people he has put in your sphere of influence? Remember, when God shows us something to change, he will not leave us to make that change alone. Since Christians do have the Holy Spirit to change us, and since we have him to renew our vision for administering the strategic significance we each have been given, we can ask how God wants us to help. We can ask him how he wants us to help. Take a look at verses 6 and 7. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. These verses might be a little surprising at first glance. However, they're really a reminder that although a king, or a child of the big K king, will experience trials and suffering that can make us long for escape, we have access to help that many who suffer do not. We're all weak in some ways, but if we take his power and creativity seriously, we can help alleviate others' suffering. And most of us, despite knowing that we belong to the King of the universe, don't feel like we can make a very big difference. True, very few of us make public speeches, and very few of us control budgets affecting thousands of people. But each of us can pray for those who do. And all of us do encounter individual people who are hurting. With the prevalence of alcohol and the potential for addiction that we're aware of these days, providing actual alcohol is no longer the primary way to help someone. We have other options. Can you provide the counsel that someone needs? Can you help medically? Can you offer rides? Does the person need emotional healing that can come through peace with God, through Christ? If you have that peace, you can share it. Related to this, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Remember the context. The reason that Lemuel's mother admonished him to consider his behavior was that his distractions were getting in the way of his using his influence for good. When we look at the call of these verses, we see that God has some big projects that can't afford distractions. Speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves, caring for the poor, the neglected, these are commands of God throughout the Old Testament and the New. God built social justice into the laws he gave to the people through Moses in the beginning. The Lord also used his prophets, a very large portion of the Old Testament, to call the religious people, the leaders, to account for their selfishness, for making life hard for the poor, and for ignoring strangers. And keep in mind that those biblical categories of oppressed and poor and strangers are groups of people. And we know that people in need are not other, not alien. Everyone is needy. It's just that some needs are more obvious than others. Jesus, too, spoke of caring for others many times, and he echoed his Father's commands about caring for people who are hurting. This week, you might want to read a portion of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus' description of a final judgment, where he divides people into categories. Sheep, who during their lives served the poor, the imprisoned, the sick, and the weak, and goats, who did not. In this passage, Jesus says that our service to people in need is service to him. In the 1970s, a Christian musician named Keith Green recorded a version of how this might play out. I can still hear the intense piano in the background. Anybody with me? Okay. And in Green's rendition, when the Lord scolds the goats and says, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink." One of the goats yells, "Hey, one of you angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke?" But you know, angels have other jobs. For feeding the hungry, God has us. Jesus, the King, has us, his adopted and freed ones, to support and pray for the work of the food bank here at Hidden Creek. Not just the caring of those basic needs of calories, but of providing welcome and conversation and wisdom when the hardships of the world have altered the people who are coming in for food. Jesus, the King, has us, his children, to listen to young people and to elderly people and to people who are new to this area, the ones without resources or encouragement. We can listen. We can ask him for wisdom as we advise or help them find connections to assistance. Are we courageous enough to ask him to let us see and offer next steps of help to people in abusive situations, in poverty, in addiction, in dealing with repercussions of criminal choices? Jesus, the King, has us, his sons and daughters, to pray for and support and perhaps even join others in giving not only practical help, but also words about God's love and forgiveness in parts of the world where people have never had a chance to hear, and in this country too. Offering the good news of salvation to anyone, regardless of economic status, is offering his grace and mercy. Does God expect any one of us to solve every social ill? No, but he can guide each of us to help somehow. Yes, some people sense a strong call to join groups or start groups that confront human trafficking or combat elder abuse. He calls some to be foster parents. Maybe that's you today. But in many passages in the Bible, all of us are called to live out God's ways to respond in some way. We can help somehow. Those of us who are presently using our gifts most of the time as cooks or administrators or helping people with their taxes or serving in the church nursery, we can also pay attention to people who are in desperate straits. My individual call to service might not be regular, in-person contact with prisoners or with homeless teens. But I can be open to serving those needs occasionally, and I can pray for and support the programs and individuals God is using to take care of those folks. Here's another idea. Have you seen an article or a news blip about refugees at home or abroad? Have you read a brochure about signs to look for in the behavior of someone who's being trafficked and used as a slave? You and I can tell others what we learn about oppressed and abused people in the world. And perhaps God will use that sharing to call someone else to lead and serve in one of those arenas. Wow. Again, verses 8 and 9. Want to read them aloud with me? Okay. Boldly, with God's power and grace, we can help. Verses 8 and 9, read with me. "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. defend the rights of the poor and needy. So, children of the King, how is God calling you with your temperament, time, and resources to look out for others? Close your eyes for a second. Listen, maybe looking at this text today is an encouragement for you in the service you already offer. Or perhaps the Lord is putting something on your heart to get involved with, or someone to support in prayer or with funds. I'll give you a minute to listen to God. Does he want to encourage you in what you already do? Is he giving you a new idea for helping? There's a space on your notes page to write if you like. Be courageous. Actually write it down. Jotting something down is not a commitment. It's a launching point for listening to God. Is God encouraging you in what you're already doing, or is he asking you to do something new? Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, recommend to Lemuel what to look for in a wife. It's a passage that some people find intriguing and others find daunting. In these verses, we see examples of tasks that such an ideal woman takes care of, people she reaches out to, how she comports herself, and the way that others respond to her and to her activities. And we're going to look at just a couple of those characteristics. I've asked some people to read a few verses out loud, but you can look at the screen or your Bible too. Now, whether you're a man or a woman, married or not, see if these things are characteristics God is developing in you, or if they're true of the person you thought of a minute ago, as someone you might want to learn from. All right. Here are some things God might be developing in us, things we can use to encourage each other. Let's look at Proverbs 31:11.
The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain.
So, verse 11 talks about married people, but it can apply to all of us. It says that the admirable woman is trustworthy of what is shared with her or given to her. Want to be a person like that? Verse 16.
She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard.
So verse 16 says that she thinks through the implications of her decisions. Could you mentor someone in decision making? Or do you need to ask someone to talk through a decision you're about to make? That's what your brothers and sisters are here for. Verse 20.
She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy.
Verse 20 goes along with the first part of the chapter, doesn't it? Have you observed what your brothers and sisters are doing to help meet needs? The Holy Spirit might use someone else's practices to inspire you. Verse 26.
She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
Oh, I would love for God to make me someone wise and with the teaching of kindness on my tongue. How about you? Is the admirable person you have in mind someone like that? Verse 27. What can you learn from someone else about how to keep from being idle or from getting stuck in one of those distracting habits we talked about earlier? Might the Holy Spirit prompt you to ask someone for help? Might he make you willing to be a person of help if someone asks you? So what do we do with all of this, this advice from God in Proverbs 31. We look around us to our Christ-following companions who can inspire us and help us to build God-glorifying lifestyles, including serving those with needs for help and hope. Brothers and sisters whose attitudes are forgiving and wise and rooted in confidence that we are amazingly the King's kids. And we look to the Bible, advice to God from us, to remind ourselves of who we are and the priorities of the one to whom we belong. No matter how others might view us, old or young or bold or quiet, or math talented or word analytical or great with kids or passionate about prayer for the nations, talented at building or organizing or any combination, no matter what we think we're good at or not good at, as God himself helps us to be faithful, we are people of influence in this world he loves so very much. Tell me, will he help us? Will he help us?
Yes.
Yes, he will. Let me pray. God, thank you for helping us. Thank you for helping us understand who you are and what you want, who we are and how you want to use us. Lord, thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit's help with advice. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us courage to keep listening, keep connecting with you so that we can be and do what you've created each one of us to be in this world that you love so very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.